Welcome to the Henry Raine Show here on WWPR, 1490 AM. Some of you may be surprised to actually be hearing the show again. Maybe even Valerie, First Lady of Radio, might be a little bit surprised this morning to be hearing it. But we are here, and it is we, because not only do you have the power to have your voice heard, power to inform, to become informed from local to global on the issues you care about most on your hometown morning talk show, wherever your hometown may be. We have guests in the studio trying to decide who I should give the honor to first, but I think I'm going to say hello to Terry Langley, for the Nation Group.
Well, good morning, Henry, and good morning, listeners. It's a beautiful day and a wonderful time to be here, so thank you for the invitation.
And how is the Nation Discussion Group going on the Manatee County side?
Listen, we're doing an excellent job. It's to remind the listeners, we're on the first Monday evening every month, and with one exception, I'll get to that in just a moment, but it's the first Monday of every month upstairs in the conference room at 6 p.m., and our group has been growing. We've only been meeting three times so far, but we'll cover a wide range of topics and discussions.
We're talking about the Central Library?
Yes, the Central Library, downtown Bradenton, and 6 o'clock. And the only Monday we can't get is Labor Day Monday, and we're doing our best to get union members and people that do labor for a living and not the one percenters.
So And what kind of, you're getting an increasing turnout?
Yeah, we're getting an increasing turnout and a more diverse group. We're looking for younger people as well as older people that are well-informed to have a good, solid, intelligent discussion about issues of the day. Last time, we discussed capitalism and socialism and compare and contrast both of them. So basically we come up with, it's a dance de deux.
Yeah, and I think it's pretty clear, capitalism good, socialism evil. Isn't that the way it's supposed to be?
Well, I guess if you're someone of that mindset, yeah, you're not going to have pure
capitalism. I'm pretty sure I heard that on Fox News.
I'm sure you did. I'm sure I'd tell you who said it, but let's not go there right now.
How is the Sarasota group going?
Excellent, excellent. We've had Sonia Pressman-Fuentes last time, and she was excellent on discussion on women's rights. We've got some more good speakers coming up for the Selby Library, and that's the first Thursday of every month, 10 o'clock in the morning, downtown Sarasota at the Selby Library. So our attendance there, even though the snowbirds are gone, we're still up to about 25 people.
Okay, so first Thursday in the morning.
That is correct.
In Manatee County, first Monday in the evening.
At 6 p.m. That is correct, Henry.
Okay. Now, speaking of diversity, and speaking of age, I believe he is from the, is it the Paleonics? Age that he's from, I'm not quite sure.
Paleolithic.
Oh, okay. Well, I knew it was one of those paleos. Right. And that would be Wade Sears, and right. He is here in the studio, too. And unlike the news broadcast that was talking about the new Microsoft tablet, and the new, well, the new old iPad, Wade's got a bunch of paper. Wade, your footprint is extensive there.
Well, we got the headlines. We got the important things that are happening here. actually, really compiled by Henry, but I pulled them off this morning early. And we've got other kind of interesting things that have to do with the economy, free market democracy, the ultimate test of free market democracy, India. That's an article by Barbara Crosset and Georgia Perkovich. And so we have that with the reaction from an Indian by the name of Raja Mohan. Just a few of the samples of things that we consider and concern ourselves with in the world.
Who are the scantily clad women there that you're looking at?
This one here? Well, this is the intelligence report of the it's a group that is probably the Southern Poverty Law Center. They did a lot back in the Selma days. They were existing then, they emerged out of it, and they publish a weekly that gives you where the hate groups are, who they are, how many are them, and in what region.
You got 1,000 hate groups there.
Yeah, they top 1,000 that they have documented, and they know where they are, they know names, and they make their reports on their activities. I think probably their most success was to more or less identify them in Skokie, Illinois. You may recall Skokie, Illinois. This group, and we've had their leader speak to our group, one of our groups here in Sarasota, about how they go about it. And but this magazine, this happens to be a special issue of the intelligence report, where they identify 1,000 hate groups across the country, right where they are. They have them mapped out, and pictures of some of them and what they've been doing.
Quite a few Civil War flags here.
Yeah, well, that's
stars and bars.
Nazi tattoos on their arms.
Well, not only that, but carved into the back of their head.
Right.
Which, interesting. I'm looking at trying to find some of the women in here for potential future wives. Chalene Nightingale, she looks rather attractive. But, well, maybe it might be appropriate for since we're talking about hate groups, that we remember Rodney King, whose beating led to the riots in Los Angeles. He has died at the age of 47. If we had been on the air yesterday, I would have remembered it then. But June 18th, 2012, Rodney G. King, whose 1991 videotape beating by the Los Angeles police became a symbol of the nation's continuing racial tensions, and subsequently led to a week of deadly race riots after the officers were acquitted, was found dead Sunday in a swimming pool at the home he shared with his fiancée in Rialto, California. He was 47. There was no evidence of foul play, the Rialto police said. Interestingly, his father died of alcoholism in his early 40s. Mr. King suffered also from alcoholism, although he managed to be a good spokesman for a lot of issues. He got a pretty significant financial settlement on his beating, although he then made the extremely wise decision to become a rap producer, which did not work out too well.
Well, Henry, about his huge settlement, there was a lot of money that was out there. Unfortunately, most of that money went to the attorneys. It's the same thing with the McDonald's case of the woman who was seriously burned with a coffee. Purportedly, she made $2.4 million on that settlement. Well, as it turns out, most of that money went to the attorneys and to her hospital care, and very little actually went into her pocket. So The judge said, okay, $2.4 million is what the jury awarded this woman because of her burns. He dropped it down to $450,000, most of which the attorneys got. There was very little left over. Rodney King, the same thing. And I'm sure that when people see these huge settlement figures presented to them, if they really knew how much the client really got, they probably would be like...
Or the real issue of justice in the case, because the McDonald's case that you describe became the fodder of late-night TV jokes over and over again, and what people don't understand is the woman had Medicare, and all she wanted from McDonald's was the 20% to cover her medical bills.
Her copay, right.
Right. She was not looking for a huge payoff. And what had turned out that McDonald's knew that they had turned their coffee up an extra 20 degrees. They had turned the coffee up an extra 20 degrees as policy because it kept the coffee fresher and you had a longer shelf life to sell to people.
Well, and they'd already had numerous complaints about that. It's way too hot, and people were getting burned, and not just 10, 20, hundreds. So this was not a new phenomenon for McDonald's. But it ended up being cheaper for them to settle this case this way and finally drop the coffee temperature down. But, I don't shop at
McDonald's. And of course, it would have been cheaper just to make her copay when she asked for it.
Had they done that, would have been not a problem. Not a problem.
Of course, we would have had a lot less jokes on Jay Leno.
Yeah, but if people could have seen the horrific injuries that woman sustained, that was awful. And then they had the skin grafts off from her back. No, it was not a pretty picture. And I wish more people could have seen that.
Well, I have a note here. It says Henry Reed on June 19th. So maybe I should do this. Affordable Water in Port Charlotte welcomes home our troops from overseas and reminds everyone that respect and care for our veterans and our soldiers in uniform should be a prime concern for all Americans. We owe today's achievements to those who fight to secure the safety of our country for future generations. This special message is a courtesy of Affordable Water in Port Charlotte for all your watering conditioning system needs. Call 941-493-0322. That's 941-493-0322 for Affordable Water, wishing our troops a safe return home. Of course, you know, we really don't, you know, we have troops overseas now, but that's sort of becoming a thing of the past. I think you got a basement somewhere in Dakota or wherever, and, you know, your troop is there, and he gets his little video game going and managed to kill people remotely. And then he goes home and, you know, gets the Happy Meal at McDonald's with his kid. And everything is smooth and wonderful. And, it turns out that the Obama administration had tried to say that we were in single digits on drone killings. And it turns out we are way beyond single digits in drone killings. The new preferred way of warfare.
Well, I just think it's a long distance thing that Obama has perfected. It's been done before, obviously, with the start of Clinton, and it just accelerated. And I think that Obama is using it more frequently. Nobody wants to be having the body count of American soldiers rising when a drone will do it with very little
You know, I remember listening to a pilot, and he says, you know, I would be following a truck or a tank or whatever, and I would look at it, and I would wonder if, get to the caller in just a second. And I would wonder, is he thinking about his wife? Is he thinking about his kids? You know, he has a life. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm going to pull this button, and that life will be over. But there was that knowledge of what you were doing, as opposed to now, that is just something that goes on a video screen, like just a video game. Mm-hmm. Let's go to the phone lines. You're live on the air.
Good morning, Henry.
This would be Lawrence.
Yes. Welcome back. Sorely missed. And just thought I'd point that out.
Well, we hope to be more than sorely missed. We hope to be expected.
Okay. Henry, I was wondering if I may divert a little bit in your political discussion with your guests. What do you think about Randall Terry's parents and wife and family and the Eric Holder situation on many different areas? Do you think that's worthy of discussion? And what do your guests think? Because I've tried to call on that other show, the Susan Me Too show, and they don't want to talk about that. So
the what show?
Susan Me Too.
I don't know what that show is.
That's a Susan Nylon wannabe show on the same time on a different station.
Huh. Well, that's news to me.
Well, okay, it's called Susan Me Too. Okay, but go ahead.
So I can talk about Eric Holder, but what is the Randall Terry issue?
What about Fast and Furious?
I'm sorry?
What's the name of the gentleman that was killed in Fast and Furious?
Well, there was a officer that was killed. I don't know the name off the top of my head, but why is that related to Randall Terry?
I maybe misspoke, a rare occasion. I thought his name was Randall Terry, but whatever his name is, let's just call him the... Mr.
The victim.
Mr. Victim, okay, and his family, and an American citizen, and a man in uniform, and what had happened, and the ultimate person that or group that's responsible, that would be, in my opinion, Eric Holder. What do you think about that, as well as the national leaks that have been coming out and Eric Holder's responsibility to that?
Okay, you got a lot of ground to cover.
Eric Holder and two subjects.
Randall Terry is, I believe, a religious activist who has nothing at all to do with what this is about. George Bush administration had a similar program. In fact, there was an officer that was killed there, too. This is a traditional way of dealing with... it's a sting. It has been used before. It was not well executed in the case of the Fast and Furious. And, you know, I think that Eric Holder is probably stonewalling as much as he can. If you look at attorney generals over, what was it, John Mitchell for Nixon, who was the attorney general for Carter? That one was...
I can't remember.
Yeah, but he knew how to stonewall, too.
It's their job.
And... of course, Bobby Kennedy, he sure knew how to keep his brother's back covered. You know, that's what attorney generals do. We have Who was Clinton's attorney general, that female?
I can't remember her name.
Yeah, they tend to fall apart in the memory. But they have their purpose.
But I think there's something beyond that, Henry. That is this, is that a DEA agent was killed in the line of duty. All of a sudden, this is a martyrdom. This is a travesty of a major proportion. And last year, I believe we lost 3 officers in Tampa. They were killed in the line of duty. Now, the chief of police is, they all feel bad about it, but things happen. The mayor of Tampa, hey, you know, if everyone's remorseful, it's too bad, I'm sorry. But, you know, you take a job on, you're a DEA agent, you might get killed. You're a cop, you might get killed.
4 officers in St. Petersburg.
It's insane. Things happen. So to hold Eric Holder accountable, that I think is a travesty also.
So, you know, one of the things that I would direct people to is a website called leoaffairs.com.
Not familiar with that.
And it's a discussion board where you actually hear or you read what the law enforcement agents are saying about their different departments.
Mm-hmm.
What I have found, I have not looked in recent months, but I did look when those officers were killed, that, first of all, the Tampa Police Department probably had the highest intelligent level of discussion I've seen on a discussion board. I really should have checked out the Manatee County Sheriff's Office since the prison stuff happened, but I haven't. The Manatee County Sheriff discussion board was pretty much who's up, who's down, you know, the gossip. The St. Petersburg discussion board was the most disturbing thing you could possibly read, because there were officers on there discussing dirty officers, ones that were corrupt and participating in drug criminal activity. It was also disturbing in that of all, you know, there were a lot of yahoos on a law enforcement discussion board. You know, you got to sort of expect that.
You get them on your program.
Yeah, we get some yahoos. The racism in the St. Petersburg Police Department, at least as it is expressed on their discussion board, is one of the most disturbing things you will ever see. The two disturbing things is the corruption that happens there. There is something called the Coalition in St. Petersburg. And I will reiterate that there is a great deal of racism that has to do with when the police chief that was brought in that later became a deputy mayor, and St. Petersburg is one of these strange situations that has 3 deputy mayors. But I have been informed of what was called the Coalition. And the Coalition is a group of police lieutenants and sergeants and other individuals who, if you want to be successful in politics in St. Petersburg, you need to work those people, and you need to get their approval before you become anything at all in St. Petersburg. And, you know, I'm sure things like that happen other places. I know there was the Good Old Boy Club in Manatee County. But nothing like that. And I would hope that the people of St. Petersburg somehow find a way to change the way things are done up there.
Well, to go along with that, Henry, let's maybe take a moment to discuss the issue about the police out of control in New York. stopping, frisking young males, in particular black, Latino, and I think that's unconstitutional for crying out loud. Just stop them and what have you got? Who are you? I want to see your ID. It's insanity that's going on in New York, and I don't know how we can stop it from down here, but I'm just making note of it.
And no, it is. It's prevalent. It's been documented as well. Let's see if we have a phone call here. You're live on the air. Caller? All right. 941-745-1490. 941-745-1490. Open phone line to discuss what you want after the break. You're listening to The Henry Range Show.
I tried to be a good wife, but he needed to do something about his problem. It's not like he was the first man to deal with ED. There are solutions, like Viagra and Cialis. I begged him to go to the doctor, but he always found an excuse not to go. Finally, I told him he had to go. He came back with a prescription, and I thought our problems were solved. That is until we found out that they can cost up to $22 a pill. He said, no way can we afford that. Then we found out about Save On Med. With their relationships with licensed pharmacies in the U.S., Canada, and New Zealand, they were able to find generic Cialis and Viagra for just $5 a pill. That's right, just $5 a pill when you buy a package of 32. Smaller packages are available at other prices, and they're mailed right to your home. They also help people save up to 75% off the prices of heart, cholesterol, cancer, and thousands of other medicines. Give them a call at 727-388-6939. That's 727-388-6939. Save On Med solved our problem, and they can solve yours. Now, you'll have to excuse me. Oh, honey, where are you? I have something you need to take care of.
Save On Med. Call 727-388-6939. That's 727-388-6939.
Welcome to Move Time Radio, presented by the Arthritis Foundation. Ah, that's a good one. Get up and dance, baby. If you're driving, pull over to the shoulder. If you're at work, yeah, time to violate the employee handbook. See, movement is just one of the ways to help fight osteoarthritis pain. Another is weight loss. You get rid of just 1 pound, that's 4 pounds of pressure off each knee. For more information on managing pain, visit fightarthritispain.org, baby. This message is brought to you by the Arthritis Foundation and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Dennis Maley, editor of the BradentonTimes.com, your local online daily newspaper from Manatee County. Everyone knows the future of the media is on the web, and the BradentonTimes.com is the first and only local newspaper published exclusively online. Check out our events coverage and find out what's happening in Palmetto, Bradenton, and Lakewood Ranch, and beyond. The Times is your best source to keep up with local politics and know what issues are impacting your quality of life in Manatee County before it's too late. There's also local sports coverage like high school football, SCF, local fishing guides, and the Bradenton Marauders. Read about unique people in your community, new restaurants, and for political junkie, there's tons of exclusive editorials and columns analyzing state, local, and national politics. Check us out at www.thebradentontimes.com and sign up for our free weekly recap delivered to your inbox every Thursday morning. TheBradentonTimes.com, fact-based news and analysis without an agenda.
Henry Range Show. WWPR, 1490 AM. You could send us an email at henryrainshow@gmail.com. You can get the live audio stream at 1490wwpr.com. You can get the podcast, which will be back up to date and on demand at henryrainshow.podomatic.com. You can even find us on Facebook at facebook.com/Henry Range Show. Follow us on Twitter at Henry Range Show. Someone asked me if I was a narcissist the other day, and I say, no, I don't really understand why you asked me that question. But perhaps there is a reason. We've got a lot of news stories. We are having open phone lines at 941 941-745-1490. Well, Google, of course, has their corporate motto, do no evil, which I guess is admirable for most corporations. Google reports alarming rise in censorship by government. There has been an alarming rise in the number of times governments attempted to censor the Internet in the last 6 months, according to a report from Google. Since the search engine last published its biannual report of transparency, it said it had seen a troubling increase in requests to remove political content. Many of these requests came from Western democracies, not typically associated with censorship. United Kingdom police asked the company to remove 5 YouTube accounts for allegedly promoting terrorism. Google agreed. I pretty much think this is going to be our trend for the next few years or longer.
Well, I think it's been there for a long time, and it's with the increased capacity of the servers, teraflops, and beyond, the amount of information they can control and store is beyond what we can even begin to imagine. So we're getting deeper every day, I think, Henry.
By the way, I understand that out on the Internet there is a photo of you that is quite impressive.
Of me, Henry, and...
you probably photoshopped it, though, I think.
In all likelihood, I did. If it's of any interest to someone, it probably was photoshopped.
Let's go to the phone lines. You're live on the air.
Hey, Henry. Good show. Thanks for having me. This is Nick in St. Pete.
Hey, Nick. Good to talk to you.
Thank you, sir. Hey, as far as Google, well, you know Google started as a military application, right? It's a military a logarithm. Is that the word? So Google started off as a military application, and they continue to be run by the government. If you don't believe that, you got your head in the sand. Number two, St. Pete Police. Do you know how much a starting lieutenant makes?
No, how much?
Well over $200,000 a year. This is public information.
That's criminals. A lieutenant?
Lieutenant makes over $200,000 a year. Plus, they work 60 hours a week. They make overtime. They work a lot more. They make a lot more than that, and I can tell you from personal, anecdotal information.
don't go away, Nick. You drop off sometimes too fast. The deputy mayor, what was his name, Goliath Davis?
Yeah, that guy was selling coke. They were putting it in dead bodies, along with Don McCray, who was the city manager. Either they were importing or exporting. There was a drug dealer down here named Romeo, a black dude. I think he's the only one that took the fall. All the other criminals, you know, got off scot-free.
Yeah, I from what I read on that Leo Affairs department board is that when he became police chief, he required that every search warrant for drugs was on his desk 24 hours before it was served.
Because he was selling drugs. There was a guy named Don McCray, who was the city manager. He owned a funeral home. They were importing and exporting crack and cocaine through these caskets, through these dead bodies. Yeah. The only good chief police we had here was Kurtzinger. And they got rid of his ass because he didn't want to put up with any corruption.
What about the situation right now? I understand there's like open-air drug markets all over St. Petersburg.
Wouldn't be able to help you with that one, Henry. Don't do illegal drugs. I don't buy the government's drugs, Henry. You know that.
Yeah, but I figure you might drive by and know where they are.
You know, St. Petersburg used to have a lot of homeless, and the mayor has a, excuse my language, a hard-on for homeless people, and he harasses them every chance they get as evidence of slashing their tents, throwing them out in the street, putting them in a concentration camp, then closing the concentration camp. You know, these guys are just jerks. They have no compassion, no sympathy for these homeless people. What they don't understand, Henry, is most of these homeless up here are mentally incompetent. You know, you got these Republicans, get a job. They can't get a job. They're nuts. Give them a break. Anyway, thanks for listening, Henry. Peace, brother.
Bye. Nick always has interesting information. Of course, all that is allegedly, that we should say. But I do remember reading that, you know, and in fact, the LeoAffairs.com, I mean, there were officers on there that were naming other officers.
It's amazing, Henry, excuse me on that one, that the pay scale is that high, and yet they can't find the 30-some to 50-some million to build a new structure for the St. Pete Police Department, which they cry and say we desperately need. This one is infused with leaky water and rats and whatevers, but... And to pay a lieutenant to over $200,000 is a starting pay. I'd like to see the source on that one.
There's an interesting YouTube video of Goliath Davis of a DUI stop, and it's what is interesting about it is the investigating officer moves him out of the camera range.
Is that right?
Probably just a coincidence. I'm a coincidence theorist. Montana GOP displays bullet-riddled Obama outhouse. A bullet-riddled outhouse, although they were painted on, they didn't really shoot it full of bullets. Labeled Obama Presidential Library, containing a fake birth certificate for Barack Hussein Obama and graffiti that read, "For a good time," and a reference to First Lady Michelle Obama, was on display at the Montana Republican Convention in Missoula. The Missoulian reports the display on Saturday also contained, quote, "For a good time" references to U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Clinton and House Democratic Leader Nancy Pelosi, her name circled in red in the display, painted as if it had numerous bullet holes, was parked outside Missoula's Hilton Garden Inn that drew some 500 convention goers. The convention also included a raffle for a 12-gauge shotgun, a shovel, and duct tape. I'm not quite sure of all the references there. A reference to the shoot, shovel, and shut up involved illegal killing of wolves or federally protected species
like the American eagle,
grizzly bears.
Yeah, but you got to remember, this is Montana, and Montana is where men are men and sheep are nervous. Be careful if you go to Montana,
especially if you're a sheep, I guess.
I guess so. It's a strange place.
You know, we were going to talk about what's going on in Syria. But before we do that, a little bit about Egypt. Military council in Egypt continued dominance despite elections. And Egyptian political activist Vael Ghanem on Sunday said that the high military council would continue dominance over Egypt despite the elections. Evaluating the presidential runoff between the leader of the Muslim Brotherhood's Freedom and Justice Party, Mohamed Morsi, and former prime minister under former Mubarak regime, Ahmed Shafik, activist Ghanem argued that looking at the picture, the military council would protect its powers and will not return to its ordinary duties after the election. The Egyptian military has been given the authority to arrest civilians. And in a related story, Muslim Brotherhood's Mohamed Morsi declared his victory in the second round of Egypt's first ever democratic presidential elections, as 97% of the ballot boxes have been open. Unofficial results show that he outpaced his rival, Ahmed Shafik, which would be the military guy, to become the first democratically elected president of the country. Morsi got 52.3% of the votes counted thus far, against 47.6% for Shafik, last premiere of the ousted leader, Hosni Mubarak. So, it seems like the Obama administration has come to the decision throughout the Middle East and North Africa that the Muslim Brotherhood are who we need to ally with. And which isn't surprising, because actually when Gamal Nasser was the president of Egypt, we supported the Muslim Brotherhood back then, you know. The
Muslim Brotherhood is not a new organization. I read something the other day that indicated a very lengthy history in Egypt and throughout the Middle East. So they're not a Johnny-come-lately organization by any means.
And there's a lot of different branches of them. They're in Libya, they're in Egypt, they're in even in Syria. You know, I don't know how interrelated they are. You know, it's sort of like when they say Al-Qaeda linked. You know, it's like, well, so how close is your link? You know, and you got the franchise. Did somebody sell you the trademark to use or whatever? A strong typhoon on course to hit Fukushima. Get ready for that one. That will be in the news also. But I do want to go over to the Syria. And plus, we have some Florida news, too, that we can get to before the show is over. There is quite a bit of stuff going on in Syria. And one of the things that is being discussed, U.S. military intervention in Syria, not if, but when. As the violence in Syria continued to go from bad to worse in scope and intensity, U.S. official sources had this to say Saturday about planned U.S. military operations on the war-torn country. The intervention will happen. It's not a question of if, but when. A Syrian Free Army rebel delegation is now in Washington, and we could go on and we could read more details about this. But also, we have this headline. Russia flies anti-air, anti-ship missiles to Assad as its fleet head to Taurus. Moscow is using the time up until Russian President Vladimir Putin faces U.S. President Barack Obama across the G20 conference table in Los Cabos, Mexico, Sunday, June 17th, which I guess is a little bit behind the curve, or in its quarters to ship sophisticated arms to Syria. Well, it goes on to list some of those arms. And then going to Egypt, Morsi will use street power for Egyptian presidency. The U.S. backs the Brotherhood. Muslim Brotherhood candidate Mohamed Morsi did not wait until the balance for the two-day poll to be counted before claiming himself Monday, June 18th, president of Egypt and claiming 52.5% of the vote. We, as the United States, have already come down on his side. And then finally, in all the big power plays, Russia, China, Iran plan to stage in Syria the biggest Mideast maneuver ever. A cordial handshake between Russian and Chinese admirals and military tensions around Syria shot up Monday, June 18th, with news reported by the semi-official Iranian news agency Fars that a joint Russian-Chinese-Iranian exercise is to take place in Syria. So the whole point being is that it seems like the Western powers, as in the United States, and the Sunni Arab countries, as in Saudi Arabia and Qatar, and to a lesser extent Egypt, are going to remove a chess piece from the table. And they're going to remove one of Iran's chess pieces. Meanwhile, Russia, China, and Iran are doing their best to try and keep that chess piece on the table. So what do you think is going to happen?
Well, I don't know. It's insanity. We keep saying we're broke, and I keep hearing from the Republican side, well, let's go in and clean this mess up. Well, where's the money to clean this mess up? I don't understand. It's the same old thing. Let's start a war, but we won't fight.
Mitt Romney wants to go back into Iraq.
Yeah, it's insanity, total insanity. We're trying to get extracted from the two wars, which were totally unnecessary. Afghanistan, they had a shot right after 9/11, go in, take out Obama or Osama, and be done with it. So
and the Taliban.
And the Taliban. So $3 to $5 trillion later, we're still trying to wrap it up and get guys home. It's insanity.
Well, somebody's got to be the empire.
Yeah, well, I don't know. That's insanity. So Syria, it's just too many problems over there. We don't have the money. We don't have the men anymore. The women with the suicides are killing more soldiers than the enemy is. Is that insane or what, to my estimation?
Well, it is definitely tragic. 941-745-1490. You have a few minutes left that you can get your voice heard here. 941-745-1490. Someone that wants his voice heard very much is Marco Rubio.
Oh, Marco.
And it's amazing how he seems to be the darling of the Republicans right now. And it's, you know, it's a wonder. It's sort of like how Sarah Palin was the darling. And then you find out all the stuff about Sarah Palin. Well, the stuff is already known about Marco Rubio, about his foreclosures, about how he used his political action committee as like his private slush fund.
Mm-hmm.
How he directed money to his mom's business and his son's. And it's like, I'm sorry, does no one know how to vet anybody anymore?
Well, obviously, this state of Florida has been disturbing to me. You got a guy that's now the governor that was pled the fifth in court 75 times. His company was fined $1.7 billion for Medicare fraud.
Oh, and he's still, come on. It's just
what
oversight.
What the hell kind of betting is that?
No, yeah, he had bad accountants.
Oh, I see. It must be keep him in the Cayman Islands.
You know, if you talk to people that actually worked at HCA in that period of time, the culture of corruption was so endemic. You know, you can go right to Blake Hospital around the corner from us,
mm-hmm.
and the kickbacks that executives were paid for construction. But then all you have to do is go down the street, figuratively, it's a little more than a street, down the highway to Venice, where that HCA hospital and the executives were getting kickbacks on the construction. So one wonders if you have an administrator like Rick Scott and these things happen, whoever blows the whistle, whoever says, hey, so good. This shouldn't be done.
It's a huge problem, and I had the unfortunate experience of spending 2 days, 48 hours in Brandon Regional. It was the worst 48 hours of my life, and I checked myself out, said, I'm out of here, and was called. It was insanity, so I'll just leave it at that for now. But anything HCA, I'm nothing to do with.
We have Marco Rubio talking about Barack Obama. and how he deliberately divides Americans. And we'll be bringing Mitch Mallett on the show in just a second, but let me play this audio for you. Well, not surprising to hear from Marco Rubio. The polling on this says that 64% of the American people actually agree with President Obama's policy on this, which I found surprising. There seems to be a compassion for young people that is surprising to me about the nature of stuff. Let me say hello to Mitch Mallett here. Good morning, Mitch.
Hey, good morning, Henry. How are you?
Well, I'm doing well. Hang on, let me get you.
You look a lot better today.
Well, yeah, you saw me in my boxers yesterday.
I did. Not a sight I want to recall.
And so what do you have planned on your show today?
We're going to talk a little bit about Marco Rubio, actually, about how he just lied. You know, because the Democrats have been trying to work this out for the last 3 years with the Republicans. And then Obama got fed up and said, all right, I'm just going to make it an executive order. And then the Republicans go, oh, but he didn't consult us. You know, there's a bill that's very similar to that. They were filibustered. So the consultation was there. The opportunities were there. And I'm just tired of the Republican revisionist history. You know, it doesn't seem to matter what happened last month. We'll just say this. People will believe us.
All right. Well, all that's coming up, and more,
and more, a lot more
on the Mitch Mallett Show. And so Mitch, you're back.
I am back. This is the beginning of my third week back.
And how many years?
I got behind the mic with my own show because. As you know, you allowed me on your show a few times, and then you and I on the Bud Beck show. So if you want to go back to the Bud Beck show, that's over 10 years. But on my own show, April 11th, 2005. So that's like 7 years plus.
You don't look much different.
You do. Yeah. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah.
Other than the shirt, which it seems like the same shirt you've been wearing for like 5 years. But.
Yeah, this shirt's not that old, but actually, the newer shirts have a new logo. Henry's referring to I'm wearing a prepaid legal shirt, and I have about 50 of those, but I got about 5 Legal Shield shirts, the new name, and I know you're a member, Henry.
And actually, I will be making use of that, and I will tell people about that in the coming week.
It's helpful, isn't it?
You know, for $17 a month, maybe you don't ever get a ticket, but, you know, when you think about what it costs and lost wages to go down and face a ticket.
Exactly.
You know, it's a small price to pay, and it gets you off. I'm not saying it gets you off the ticket, but it gets you off that responsibility of a whole day of your life and a whole day of your income. And this will be coming the if I include all my family members, this will be the fourth time I've been able to use that. So it was money well spent.
For tickets.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've used it more than that I'm aware of, if you count my family. And a couple times I got a letter in the mail from a law firm, and I open it up, and I'm like, what is this? And it's addressed to my wife, actually. And he goes, we represented you at your trial today. And my heart starts beating, going, oh, my God, what's going on here? And then it says that they got the ticket dismissed. And then my wife comes home, and then I get to say, because she didn't tell me about the ticket. It's probably more important she tells Legal Shield attorneys about the ticket than me. But she comes home, and I go, you know, you got a letter, you know, you had a court date.
Mitch.
You weren't there. 30 days in jail, Myrna.
Communication is not always the road that it gets followed. I need to close out the show so you can get your show started. We'll be back tomorrow with another Henry Rain Show.